Psalm 90. The message today is all about birthdays. Happy birthdays, sad birthdays, young birthdays, old birthdays, all about birthdays. I would like to read you 10 different scriptures, but I think I shall confine myself to 3. So first of all, Psalm 90. This is the one psalm attributed to Moses. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, or even by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet is their pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, and thy wrath according to the fear that is due unto thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Arrive at a heart of wisdom. Get us a heart of wisdom. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 20. Verse 14. And this is what Jeremiah says about his birthday. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let the man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not, and let him hear a cry in the morning, and shouting at noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb, and so my mother would have been my grave, and her womb always great. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb, to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. And now let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then it says, suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts descended from heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for all the things that you've recorded for us in your word. Some seem so insignificant, our God, and some seem inconceivable. And yet all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we desire to learn what you have told us in a small measure about birthdays, our God, our existence here on earth. So help us as we consider these portions to number our days, our God. We are thankful for all the blessings that you've given us. We are thankful, our Father, that you've given us the light of heaven, and we hold it in the Word of God. We are thankful that you've sent your Son from heaven, who is the light of the world, and he has shined in our hearts, and we have not refused that light. For all the good things you bestowed upon us, we thank you, and we look to thee for further blessing all the days of our life. And our Father, prepare our hearts, and may thy Spirit empower that the Word of God may not be spoken in vain. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It would have been good if I could have entitled the message, Happy Birthday. But I looked up all the references to the word birthday. There are only three that way in the Bible. But it speaks at times about it was his day. That is his birthday. And what I found out was this, that so many times what should have been a day of joy, a happy birthday, was a day of sadness. And some people, when they look back over their lives, the way Jeremiah did, he cursed the day of his birth. I know how happy fathers are when their children have children, and a report comes that a son has been born into your family. You are now a grandfather. But this is what Jeremiah says. Cursed be the day when I was born, and cursed be the man that brought news of my birth to my father. Think of that. And so I'm not able to speak to you on happy birthdays, because the Bible is filled with sorrowful birthdays. But the reason I read you Luke chapter 2, no one can ever say that the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of the king, nobody could say that that was a day to be cursed. And the reason I know it is that the angels of heaven came down and said about the joyful day when Christ was born on earth. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Yes, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then all the angels of heaven come down and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you I could have read you 10 or 20 passages all having to do with birthdays. But some, as they look back over their lives, regret that they were born. And one of the saddest portions in the Bible is this, the words that our Lord Jesus spoke when he thought of Judas Iscariot. He said concerning one person, he said, it were good for that man if he had never been born. Think of that. And yet I think of unsaved people as well, those that refuse the light. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I could think in that respect, but the point is this, that when a man comes into the world, he comes into the world in darkness. But this is what God tells us. He said that he lights every man that comes into the world. It says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching his innermost parts. And so man is born blind and in darkness, but God has given him light, and God shines upon him at times. But at times the light that is given is refused. And some are given many days to live, and some are given few days to live. If I asked you, when it says in Psalm 55, bloodthirsty and deceitful men live not out half their days. Did John the Baptist live out all his days? You say yes, because he never did any sinful thing that caused the judgment of God to come upon him and cut short his days. And so for John the Baptist, his days were some 30 years. And our Savior, tell me, did he live out all his days? Indeed he did. The Lord Jesus, when Pilate said, "Do you not understand that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you?" The Lord Jesus said, "You would have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above." And the Lord Jesus knew, and it says again and again, when men tried to put him to death, it said his hour was not yet come. But when his hour did come, the Lord Jesus looked upon his enemies and he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." And so, what happens is this, that God has a plan for us, and it would be a good thing if we lived out that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, but sometimes we live not out half our days, and at times, because of insistence in prayer, when our days should have been terminated, God will extend them 15 more years. And so this is what I pray to God. Oh God, let me live out the measure of days that you have appointed me. And when I die, may my death be of such a nature that I glorify you. This is what the Lord Jesus tells us about Peter in John 21. He spoke about him and the way he was going to be put to death. And he said, this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And so it's not how long you live, but it's the death that you die. And if the death that you die glorifies God, that is a good thing. Let me ask you, do you think that the death of Ananias and Sapphira glorified God? You say no. And do you think that all Christians, when they die or when the Lord comes, are going to glorify God? By no means. It says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And so some of us, because of the lives we live, will rejoice when the Lord Jesus comes, the way Simeon did when he held the Lord Jesus in his hands. And then he said, "Lord, I'm ready to go." That would be a lovely way to go, to see the Son of God come into the world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, and to hold the Son of God in your arms and say, "Now let thy servant depart, O Lord, in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." But some do not depart in peace. Some, the judgment of God falls upon them. And so here we are, and God gives some, the finest of prophets, 30 years. And he gives the most wicked of men abundance of years. The most wicked king in Israel was Manasseh, and he's the one that reigned the longest. And yet it may well be that God endured all his sins and caused man to endure all the sufferings and murders that he inflicted upon Israel, that at the last of his days he humbled himself and he prayed unto God. And it may well be that someday when I'm in heaven, I'll be looking at a man and I'll say, "Who are you?" And he will say, "I am Manasseh." "Well, how did you get here?" "God, in his long suffering, at the last, spoke to my heart, and I did not refuse." And so some God gives just a few years, and some God gives many years. In Genesis 5, at the first, man lived ever so many years. And here are some, and they are trying to live a millennium. And here is Adam, and he lives 930 years. One of his grandsons, and he lives 962 years. And finally, we come to Methuselah. And he is asked, how old are you today, Methuselah? He says, I am 969 years. And what are you aiming at? He says, I want to make it to 1,000. But what happened when he lived to be 969 years? The flood came. And he died just before the flood. And so how long are we going to live? That depends upon God and the life that you live in obedience to Him. Let us live out all our days. But whether or not you agree with those who celebrate certain days, the Bible tells us about celebrating birthdays. That's why I read to you from Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days. Well, how can you number them unless you know how many days you've been here? I know how many days I've been here. I was told by my mother when I was born, but when I was checking up on genealogies, I went down to the archives and looked up in the archives, and I saw that a little baby was born named John Milton Mills. And I saw exactly when I was born, the doctor that delivered me, and how much I weighed. All of this information was recorded. And so I can tell you exactly how old I am. And others in the Bible, the age is told us how old they are. And so for that reason, it tells us to number our days. Here is a man, and he wants to be saved. And 20 years go by, 30 years go by, 50 years go by. And I spoke at a man's funeral, and he was in his 60s or 70s before he finally trusted Christ. And that's one thing I brought out, that when a man trusts Christ, statistically, most of the times, it is in his youth. And if they live past a certain age, they will never trust Christ as Savior. They will never repent. They will go on in the pathway that they've been treading, and they will die as they have lived. But on occasion, some like Manasseh in their old age are drawn by God, and they yield to the Spirit working upon their hearts. The sweet influences of God come upon them, and they yield. And so some like this dear man, and that is what point I emphasized at his funeral, that some of you are older than he was when he died, and you haven't trusted Christ yet. You do not know how many days God is going to give you, because it is not that a man can be saved when he wants to. It is when the Spirit of God draws a man. That is when he can say yes. That is what we are to understand. And so Psalm 90 is not for the Christians alone, but it's for the whole world. So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. What is wisdom? It is saying yes when the Spirit of God convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when He does that and we say yes, we have acquired a heart of wisdom. But if we are wise as Solomon, but never say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have never gotten us a heart of wisdom. But God tells us to number our days. Now, among the many passages I could have read to you, I could have read to you about Barzillai and also about Caleb. Because if you read it, they tell us their age. Barzillai was one who showed kindness to David when his son Absalom was trying to put him to death. He gave him provisions. He remained faithful to David when he was in flight. And finally, when David's army overcame Absalom's army, and David was returning to sit upon the throne in Jerusalem, Barzillai met him at the river. And David said to Barzillai, he said, come to Jerusalem with me, and like you've shown me kindness, I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. And Barzillai said, "Why, what good would it be for me to come with you to Jerusalem?" He said, "I am this day 80 years old. And in a few more days, if God lets me live, I shall be 80 years old." And so I can understand about Barzillai, but I can say things about myself that he could not. He said, "I can't taste anymore." He said, "I can't hear anymore." And I can say, "Well, I'm hard of hearing." He said, "These are the things I can't enjoy." He said, "If you took me to Jerusalem and cared for me," he said, "all this beneficence would be wasted upon me." He said, "But I have a son named Chimham. Would you show him kindness?" And David said, "Yes, I will show him kindness." But look, here is this man, Barzillai, and he had numbered his days, and he knew what he could do and what he could not do, and he knew that he would soon leave this world to go and sleep with his fathers. That's all that they knew then. Thank God that we know that when we leave this world to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But he had numbered his days, and he understood what he could do and what he could not do. He remembered the past, and he realized the truth concerning the future. And so a great opportunity came to sit in the presence of the king, as Mephibosheth did. But he said, "It would be wasted on me. Let me go home, and then let me die, and let me be buried with my father. That's what I want." And so David said yes. He had numbered his days. He had faced up the life. He saw what reality was. And so he died the death that he wanted to die. But now, if you read about Caleb, Caleb was older than Barzillai. Caleb, when the land was being distributed, was talking to Joshua. And he said, "I was 40 years old when you and I, Joshua, went in to spy out the land." And he said, "God has kept me alive these 45 years. And he said, "I am this day 85 years old." Well, you would say, if he's 85, 5 years older than Barzillai, why, his condition, why, he's a decrepit old man. But this is what he said. He said, "I am as strong today as I was when I was 40 years old. I can go out, I can come in, I can fight giants. Now, you assign me the most difficult part of the promised land to conquer. Let me go and fight giants in my old age." Well, I'm afraid that I would associate more with Barzillai than I would with Caleb, because I do not have the strength that I used to have. I used to run some 5 miles every day, and now if I can walk a half a mile or a mile, I thank God for that. And so some of us, if we number our days, we realize that God has let us retain strength, and others realize that our strength is gone, and some of us do not know that our strength is gone. David, when he was a youth, went out and fought Goliath. And David was not a coward. He would go into battle. But one day, as he was getting older, he became faint in heart. And his nephew came to his rescue and slew the giant that was trying to defeat David. And then they said to David, "You are not going out to battle anymore with us." Why? "Because you're getting old and your strength is departing." And so we have to number our days. And if we number our days and we're like Caleb, praise God. Continue to fight giants. But if we're like Barzillai, understand it. And just as Isaiah came and said to Hezekiah, "Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live," then let us, as Barzillai, set our house in order and thank God for his goodness to us. So think of that now. Here are some who live ever so long, and they want to fight to the end of their lives. And I remember the prayer of the psalmist. This is what he says. He says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Yea, when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not. Why? That I may tell of thy strength to the next generation. The only reason that old men should want to continue to live is to tell the strength, the goodness, the glory of God to the next generation. What does Paul say to Timothy? The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to tell others also. It's the promulgation of the word of God, the truth. That is why God has left us here. It is not that we simply live and we cling to life. Why? Because I want to get out of life all that I can. It's not that. I could understand if life were the end, but inasmuch as some have been caught up to paradise and they know that there is that life to come, they do not have to worry about clinging to life like some do. And they can say with Paul, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the righteous judge shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. And so we number our days, and if we have understood the truth of God and the light that Christ has brought into the world, we can say concerning death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, there were those who did not understand these things. And there were some who at a point in their life experienced a blow that was allowed of God to come upon them and almost destroy them. Think of this. The finest man that God could put his finger on in the East was Job. And Job at that time was a wealthy man, was a man respected, and he had 10 children. And it says concerning his children that every time one of the brothers had a birthday, he would invite all his brothers and sisters over, and they would come join him, and they would rejoice. And it says this, that Job feared that his children may have celebrated too much and sinned, and so he would go and offer a sacrifice. But it tells us in Job chapter 1 that it was the birthday of his oldest son, and all his brothers and sisters were together, and Satan had obtained permission from God to cause terror and destruction to fall upon all that God had. And what happened was this. It said that a wind came and struck the four corners of the house in which they were celebrating your son's birthday, and it fell upon them and it crushed them. And he said, I alone am escaped, and I've come to tell you that. And so Job would never forget the day that all his children died. What day was it? It was the birthday of my oldest son. And so God tells us to number our days when a birthday comes. Understand that we have only so many days, and some that are young may have less days than some that are old. And old ones, at times, they think they're going to live longer than they do. I remember my cousin, when he was some 70 years old, and he had been sick and had had so many operations, and I was witnessing to him about his soul. I said, well, how long, much longer do you think you have to live? And he was 70. He said, well, maybe 20 more years. And I shook my head. I said, I'm healthier than he is, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to 90. And he did not live to 90, but I had chance to witness to him, and I was invited to take his funeral. But some people that are old think they're going to live longer. And some that are young, they think they will never die. But what we have to do is to so number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom to know how much longer we have down here, humanly speaking, and say, this must be accomplished. I must witness to this loved one. I must witness to this one whom I passed by. These things must be accomplished because I cannot boast myself of tomorrow. I know not what a day might bring forth. And so what happens is this. Some of us, when we are 80, begin our mission for God to think that Moses, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years with his father-in-law, Jethro, and at 80 years of age, God calls him and says, I want you to be shepherd of my people, Israel. And then at the age of 80, Moses' life just began. And for 40 years, God gave him supernatural strength. And at the end of Moses' life, it said, his eye was not dimmed, or his natural force abated. But that was miraculous strength. And most of us do not have miraculous strength. So, take in consideration these things. Now, I would contrast the words of Job and Jeremiah, and I would contrast the life of Job and Jeremiah, because both of them said, cursed be the day when I was born. But then, at the end of Job's life, God bestowed upon him twice as much as he had ever had before. And it said that Job died old and full of days. And so his heart was content. And so now, at the end of his days, he could look back and say, when all came upon me that was tragic, on my oldest son's birthday, I cursed the day that I was born. But now, my God, you have given me length of days, and I look back, and I thank you, my God, for all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for the good days and the bad days. What? Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil? The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then, when the second blow came and his health was taken, then Job cursed his day. But then God had good things in store for Job at the end of his life. And so, let's commit our souls and well-doing into the hands of a faithful Creator. Why? Because God knows what we can do in our youth and what we can do in our old age. And this has given me great comfort. When you become old, people quite often forget you. But at times, God will set aside old ones and use young ones. And at times, he will set aside young ones and use old ones. What do I mean? Here is King Saul, head and shoulders above all Israel. And Goliath is putting forth his challenge. And nobody will come out to fight him. And a youth, a teenager, comes forth and he says, I'm not afraid to fight him. I fought with a lion and a bear. And I destroyed them. And I'll destroy this uncircumcised Philistine. And so God puts to shame the strong and the aged ones by a young man. But for my own consolation, here is Daniel. And what happens is that Belshazzar is having a feast. It may have been his birthday. He's having a feast and writing comes on the wall. And no one knows what to do. But the old queen mother comes and says, there is an old man named Daniel. And when your father was reigning, he had a dream, and Daniel came and interpreted his dream. This old man can give you the answer to what you need. And so when none in their youth could meet the challenge, here is this old man forgotten that is brought out of retirement. And then Daniel stands up and gives the interpretation that none of the young men could give. And so, for that reason, we old men may not be proud because God may have a young man to use. And you young men may not be proud because God may have an old man that he wants to use. But what happens is this. So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom, that we may present our bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then God will use us. God will glorify himself with us. And at times God has good things in store that we do not know about. Usually I teach, but on occasion I preach the gospel. But some 60 years ago, I was preaching in Georgia, and I saw no fruit from that labor. But then recently, when I was preaching in Durham, a man came to me and he said, "I want you to meet someone you led to the Lord 60 years ago." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes, you were preaching this message, and it struck him in his heart. And he confessed his sins and trusted Christ as Savior, and he's here today." And so 60 years later, a spiritual son of mine comes up and speaks to me. I would like to have known earlier, but what happens is this. At times, God gives us rewards early in life, and sometimes later in life, because we look at our days, and all we should want to do is to live out all the days that God has appointed for us. Let us glorify him. Let us glorify him as long as we live, if we die in our youth. And let us glorify him if we die in our old age. And let us bring forth fruit in old age. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for birthdays. We thank you for the day that you brought us into the world. Let us know when sorrows overwhelm us, we would curse that day. But our God, when we think it through as a whole, we understand that the Lord is faithful and merciful and long-suffering and repenteth him of the evil. We pray, our Father, that we shall not judge you prematurely, but we shall understand that you are working in our lives. And we pray that we may glorify thee, our Father, in life and in death. And so teach all who are here to number their days, and let them get them a heart of wisdom, and let them glorify you. Let them love you with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and let them love their neighbors as themselves. And let us be found worshiping you, Lord Jesus, and serving you when you come. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. The meeting is over.